Book 8, Chapter 5, How Solomon Built Himself a Royal Palace, Very Costly and Splendid, and How He Solved the Riddles Which Were Sent Him by Hiram. After the building of the temple, which, as we have before said, was finished in 7 years, the king laid the foundation of his palace, which he did not finish under 13 years, for he was not equally zealous in the building of this palace as he had been about the temple. For as to that, though it was a great work, and required wonderful and surprising application, yet God, for whom it was made, so far cooperated therewith, that it was finished in the forementioned number of years. But the palace, which was a building much inferior in dignity to the temple, both on account that its materials had not been so long beforehand gotten ready, nor had been so zealously prepared, and on account that this was only a habitation for kings, and not for God, it was longer in finishing. However, this building was raised so magnificently as suited the happy state of the Hebrews and of the king thereof. But it is necessary that I describe the entire structure and disposition of the parts, that so those that light upon this book may thereby make a conjecture, and, as it were, have a prospect of its magnitude. This house was a large and curious building, and was supported by many pillars, which Solomon built to contain a multitude for hearing causes, and taking cognizance of suits. It was sufficiently capacious to contain a great body of men, who would come together to have their causes determined. It was 100 cubits long, and 50 broad, and 30 high, supported by quadrangular pillars, which were all of cedar. But its roof was according to the Corinthian order, with folding doors, and their adjoining pillars of equal magnitude, each fluted with 3 cavities, which building as at once firm and very ornamental. There was also another house so ordered that its entire breadth was placed in the middle. It was quadrangular, and its breadth was 30 cubits, having a temple over against it, raised upon massy pillars, in which temple there was a large and very glorious room, wherein the king sat in judgment. To this was joined another house that was built for his queen. There were other smaller edifices for diet and for sleep, after public matters were over, and these were all floored with boards of cedar. Some of these Solomon built with stones of 10 cubits, and wainscoted the walls with other stones that were sawed and were of great value, such as are dug out of the earth for the ornaments of temples, and to make fine prospects in royal palaces, and which make the mines whence they are dug famous. Now the contexture of the curious workmanship of these stones was in 3 rows, but the 4th row would make one admire its sculptures, whereby were represented trees and all sorts of plants, with the shades that arose from their branches, and leaves that hung down from them. Those trees and plants covered the stone that was beneath them, and their leaves were wrought so prodigious thin and subtle, that you would think they were in motion. But the other part, up to the roof, was plastered over, and, as it were, embroidered with colors and pictures. He, moreover, built other edifices for pleasure, as also very long cloisters, and those situate in an agreeable place of the palace, and among them a most glorious dining-room for feastings and compotations, and full of gold and such other furniture as so fine a room ought to have for the conveniency of the guests, and where all the vessels were made of gold. Now it is very hard to reckon up the magnitude and the variety of the royal apartments, how many rooms there were of the largest sort, how many of a bigness inferior to those, and how many that were subterraneous and invisible. The curiosity of those that enjoyed the fresh air, and the groves for the most delightful prospect, for the avoiding of heat and covering of their bodies. And, to say all in brief, Solomon made the whole building entirely of white stone and cedar wood and gold and silver. He also adorned the roofs and walls with stones set in gold, and beautified them thereby in the same manner as he had beautified the temple of God with the like stones. He also made himself a throne of prodigious bigness of ivory, constructed as a seat of justice, and having 6 steps to it, on every one of which stood, on each end of the step, 2 lions, two other lions standing above also. But at the sitting place of the throne, hands came out and received the king. And when he sat backward, he rested on half a bullock that looked towards his back. But still all was fastened together with gold. When Solomon had completed all this in 20 years' time, because Hiram king of Tyre had contributed a great deal of gold and more silver to these buildings, as also cedar wood and pine wood, he also rewarded Hiram with rich presents. Corn he sent him also year by year, and wine and oil, which were the principal things that he stood in need of, because he inhabited an island, as we have already said. And besides these, he granted him certain cities of Galilee, 20 in number, that lay not far from Tyre, which, when Hiram went to and viewed, and did not like the gift, he sent word to Solomon that he did not want such cities as they were. And after that time, these cities were called the land of Kabul, which name, if it be interpreted according to the language of the Phoenicians, denotes what does not please. Moreover, the king of Tyre sent sophisms and enigmatical sayings to Solomon, and desired he would solve them, and free them from the ambiguity that was in them. Now so sagacious and understanding was Solomon, that none of these problems were too hard for him, but he conquered them all by his reasonings, and discovered their hidden meaning, and brought it to light. Menander also, one who translated the Tyrian archives out of the dialect of the Phoenicians into the Greek language, makes mention of these two kings, where he says thus, "When Abibalus was dead, his son Hiram received the kingdom from him, who, when he had lived 53 years, reigned 34. He raised a bank in the large place, and dedicated the golden pillar which is in Jupiter's temple. He also went and cut down materials of timber out of the mountain called Libanus for the roof of temples. And when he had pulled down the ancient temples, he both built the temple of Hercules and that of Astarte. And he first set up the temple of Hercules in the month Peritius. He also made an expedition against the Euchii, or Titii, who did not pay their tribute, and when he had subdued them to himself, he returned. Under this king there was Abdamon, a very youth in age, who always conquered the difficult problems which Solomon, king of Jerusalem, commanded him to explain. Dius also makes mention of him, where he says thus, "When Abibalus was dead, his son Hiram reigned. He raised the eastern parts of the city higher, and made the city itself larger. He also joined the temple of Jupiter, which before stood by itself, to the city, by raising a bank in the middle between them. And he adorned it with donations of gold. Moreover, he went up to Mount Libanus, and cut down materials of wood for the building of the temples." He says also that Solomon, who was then king of Jerusalem, sent riddles to Hiram, and desired to receive the like from him, but that he who could not solve them should pay money to them that did solve them, and that Hiram accepted the conditions. And when he was not able to solve the riddles proposed by Solomon, he paid a great deal of money for his fine, but that he afterward did solve the proposed riddles by means of Abdamon, a man of Tyre, and that Hiram proposed other riddles, which, when Solomon could not solve, he paid back a great deal of money to Hiram. This it is which Dius wrote.